Hi. Hi, buddy. Okay. Hello. Hi, Marilyn. Yeah. So I mostly just wanted to ask you about your time here in Mancos. Did you grow up in the Mancos area?
Well, pretty much. I was born at the Ritter Ranch, and which is now under McPhee, 1 mile downstream from Dolores. And I was born there and at that ranch. And when I was 8 years old, we moved to Mancos. And then went to college at CSU. And then got a job at Mesa Verde. It was just with the Weatherall project, so it was just like a 3-year job then. But as it turned out, it became almost a 40-year job. But and my son was born, and about that time, we were told we could buy this ranch here. We didn't have much money, barely got the ranch paid for, little by little. Thank heavens to the Reddits being very accommodating that way. And then little by little lived here and built a house, but that took a while.
What year did you buy the ranch?
1965.
So tell me a little bit about life in Mancos when you were young, when you were a young girl. Can you talk about some of your favorite memories of the Mancos Valley or things like that?
No, and the reason I say that no is because my memories, right off after we moved from Dolores over, my parents made friends with the Gothrop family, who had some land in the mountains up by Aspen Guard Station. They have a ranch up there. And the Gothrops said we could have a little camp up there, which was a school bus that we lived in. And my dad had driven the school bus. So anyway, that was our RV, you might say. And then we had a little outdoor patio and this and that. But the main thing was my mother and I each had our horses there. And my favorite memories of all my growing up was riding horses in the mountains. And we would take 2 to 3 short rides a week and 1 or 2 all day rides a week from spring to late fall. And go as far as we could ride, which was quite a ways, and with horses. So, and in those days, there were more trails kept up by the Forest Service.
Were you camping up in the woods then? Were you just spending your time packing in and staying up in the woods?
No, we camped in a school bus, and we'd...
You'd ride out from there?
Mm-hmm. But we'd go 20 to 30 miles a day. Because the trails were good. We knew every little trail. And we'd ride with some of the cowboys. We got to be really good friends with the Wallace family and the Baders and some of the other cowboys. Mostly we just ride on our own. But, you know, in 30 miles you could go into Bear Creek and on up and back to the bus, the Gothrop place. Or you could go a long ways down Hay Camp, or you could go over here to Schubert Flat on the Red Arrow Road and back. In 30 miles, you could cover a lot of country. But the neat thing was the Wallace, Lyle and Mary were our neighbors. And they lived in a cabin and had their cows. They took care of their cows from there. And they were like a mile, something like that, through the woods on a horse trail. And they'd come riding through and come up and visit. And then, or Donald and his wife, Margaret, they lived up by the Jersey Gem Fire Tower. And they worked for Lyle Mary. And we'd ride by there and say hi and have coffee. Or we'd stop at the fire tower and talk with Bernadelle Porter, who was... It ran full time then.
Yeah, they were looking for fires back then.
Right, and she worked there full time in the summer. Mm-hmm. And she was fun to visit with. So, well, twice we thought we really had to go a longer trip, and we didn't get out of Bear Creek until, well, it was dark, and we couldn't even find the trail then. So we ended up camping, holding horses all night, and with a little campfire, and had like a half a sandwich and a dill pickle left, something like that, for supper and breakfast. And then we got up at daybreak and tried to get back to the camp. In the meantime, my dad was really upset.
Worried about you, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And he had a fire going where he thought we should come out, but by the time we got up over Windy, the old Windy Gap, he'd given up. And the sheriff was heading to look for us. But, oh, well, we rode past the fire tower, and Bernadelle Porter yelled down that we were in really big trouble. And that was like in the mid-afternoon time we got there, so we were in trouble. So anyway, I would go out, and I was just a kid, and I didn't know much, and didn't have any field guides, really. But I would try to identify all the birds, you know, I wasn't too educated yet. I got a little better. And then the flowers, that little by little. And the grasses, because Claude Gothrop, he was so proud of any grass that he had planted for his cows on that. It was his land, you know. And he was proud of that. And I even, mushrooms, and I was, mushrooms were fun.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different kinds out there in the mountains, too.
Yeah, and they're not that easy to identify.
When you went to school, to college, what did you study?
It was biological science at CSU. Let's see, that was 1957. That was the first year they had that major. Because I remember thinking, oh, I don't want to do just plants, and I don't want to do just animals. So, and they had biological, so that included both. And working with that geologist was fantastic. We had a great time. And I learned a lot from her and kept her prodded on. And we found more stuff in Mesa Verde and in this area right here. We found a lot of interesting fossils. She mapped a lot of different layers for the park, but also for other. She wrote a lot of papers. But I would see something interesting, and I'd talk to her about it, and off we'd go and get it figured out, and it was great.
Now, you've put some of your land into a conservation easement. Why did you decide to do that?
The reason I got interested was because I wanted to protect this place, particularly, from any future development by my son or anybody, you know. But, because I had really worked like a Trojan buying it, and I wanted to maintain it. The wild animals have it. It seems like they mostly it's theirs. About that time, whatever year, and the subdividing was started. Every place I'd look, there for the next 10 years, there would be survey flags and stakes, even on my land to survey onto a neighbor's, and people were breaking up their places, as you know, and they were shutting people out. It about that time, everywhere I had some smaller pieces of land, but every place I'd go there for a little while, there'd be survey flags.
Well, it sounds like you've had a pretty good relationship through your life with the land here and the animals and the plants, and that you've really had a pretty full relationship with this landscape out here.
It's the same old, same old.
Lots of good days, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much oriented with the natural world.